each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us, to some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, welcome. TGIF, thank God it's Friday, and
thank
it is.
God it's Friday.
This is a busy, 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 busy Friday. It's going to be a busy, busy, busy weekend. It's always busy, Christina. We're
More
always
than
busy.
Ever.
So I'm just flying into the studio, as happens, as everybody knows, because I tell you that all the time, and I'll be flying right out of the studio because I've got a quinceañera at 1 o'clock, and then a wedding, and I've got confessions. We got a rehearsal, then another mass, and then a wake.
You're busy.
It's busy. It's a busy, busy day. So, and what a day, I'll tell you. And we're not going to spend a lot of time because we've got some, I guess I would say bad news and good news today. So first of all, Christina, how are you?
Busy.
What can you say?
I don't know if it's worse than Monday, because I don't like Mondays, but I think this Friday is worse than a normal Monday.
You got a freaky Friday there, don't you?
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe, there you go. For you, maybe. For all of us, huh?
Well, no, I'm feeling pretty good, except that, you know.
For all the rest of us.
Yeah, but everything else is going all right. But yeah, I hear you. And I understand how it is with being busy all the time, too.
Yeah, you know, Nick, I rushed down here and I don't have the what I wanted. And that is very frustrating to me. Let me just...
You want me to get it for you?
No, because I don't know where it's at now. Anyway, oh, yeah, I got it right here. It's right here. Okay, because I want to say a couple of things. Again, thank God it's Friday. It's in some ways a difficult Friday for us in the church for a reason. And well, let me just say this, you know, and we're not going to spend too much time on here because we've got some wonderful guests today, and that'll be the good news. That'll be the light in the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be the leaven, the salt, as we speak so often, as Jesus speaks about. You know, that we're the salt of the earth, the leaven, the light of the world. A light that, as we say so often, always going back to John's gospel, that God the Father, He so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save the world. The light came into the darkness, but people rather chose the dark and chose not to come to the light for fear their deeds be exposed. So depending on where you stand, you know, this is either a happy day, a happy gay day, or a very dark day. First of all, what a contrast, you know, because this is very sad, certainly, that a gunman killed 28 in an attack in the Tunisian resort, believed to be ISIS-affiliated group, a terrorist group, or the State of Islam. In France, there was the beheading, an explosion at the U.S. Owned factory, a U.S.-owned factory in France, and the head was hung on a fence, covered with Arabic writing. The Islamic flag was raised. The Israelis are urging Jews to flee France. It's a caliphate anniversary. ISIS claims blasted a mosque in Kuwait's capital. So, that's going on right now as we're speaking, all this horrific stuff. At the same time, there's great celebration in the nation on the part of many as the Supreme Court approves same-sex marriage for the whole nation. This is a very dramatic ruling. I'm going to read to you the letter of Cardinal George, God rest his soul, the late cardinal, in just a moment here. But I'm going to be very brief with this today, and then we're going to... go to break, and then we're going to look at some good news, you know. But I'll tell you the truth, you know, and my people, you know, really, my friends, this is the fact is we are strangers in a foreign land. And you know what? The landscape has changed. The winds have changed. There's no doubt about it. This is something we've, we chose that as the title, the we call our program, right, The Winds of Change. But the change is happening at such a rapid pace in such an accelerated way that it truly makes the head spin, and you ask yourself, how do we get here? How do we get from there to here, wherever there was? There's nothing new under the sun, but the extent to which things are happening and let me just say this. So the Supreme Court here in the United States just made a same-sex marriage legal in all 50 states. This is a historic decision, as decisions go, and that is, it's going to have implications for years to come. This will be a day, this day will be remembered as the day that a society began to implode on itself here in the United States. It's a decision not made with the law in mind. It's not made with the law in mind, but with an agenda in mind. It's an agenda to destroy all things pertaining to God, humanity, and the common good. And you can't argue that. I suppose people can, because they are, and people are caving, crashing all over the place, Christians from all over. But this is, but it's going to be very interesting to see how the church is going to respond to this. And I'll tell you, the synod in October, is this in October, the synod on the family in Rome, I think, or the Pope is going to be in the United States in September. I don't remember it, September, October, but the synod, there's a synod in Rome, and then there's the which perhaps is called a synod as well in Philadelphia on the family. The Pope will be there for that. That's going to say a lot about where we are and where we're going. Now, we have to, I keep going back to what Pope John Paul II said when people protested the church's teachings on marriage and sexuality and all this. He says, you know, and they burned the effigies of the Pope, and this was in the Belgium, burned effigies of the Pope, and they just, I'm not going to go into all the things that were going on, because we got young people here, young women, I don't want to go into all the details here, but the point is that Pope John Paul II said, you know, you ask me to do what I haven't the authority to do. We don't have the authority to change these things. And, you know, and where does it stop? Where does it end? The church has to stand up for the common good and profess the beauty of marriage between one man and one woman. This is a biblical fact. This is historical. What's happening today is historical, because it's a complete deviation, a complete breach with civilization has understood marriage, the natural order of things. And so where does it stop? Where does it end? What about polygamy or other distorted forms of marriage that will be brought eventually before the Supreme Court? You know, so I tell you what, on Monday we'll be dealing with that. But I do want to share with you the letter. When the state of Illinois enacted same-sex marriage, this was in November of 2013, Cardinal George wrote this letter to the Archdiocese, and I just want to share this with you, and then we'll just leave it at that for right now, and we're going to come back to this. I'm certain we'll come back to this on Monday and try to put things in perspective, because, as I say, you know, we got to be very careful. You know, there's so much talk about being bullied, but, you know, we're being bullied. We're being bullied into accepting what we know goes contrary to biblical teaching, to the teachings of the church, to the very nature of the family, marriage and family. It's an assault on the family. Now, as, again, many will argue, many are celebrating today, but it seems to me we've spoken about this so often, we've lost our capacity to right reason, our philosophical base, a sense of anthropology. All these sciences are related: anthropology, psychology, the theology, sociology, philosophy,
biology,
you know, biology. I mean, it's unbelievably bizarre what is happening, and how we collectively seem to have accepted something that is really, really contrary to what is in the nature of man and of woman. But the cardinal, God rest his soul, Cardinal Francis George, he says, you know, my brothers and sisters in Christ, he says, as you all know, the state of Illinois has entered into law the recognition of same-sex unions as marriages. Now, of course, today, the Supreme Court has ruled that this is that the nation itself must accept this as the norm. The church was part of the public debate, as you well know, the cardinal said. We try to explain that this is not primarily a religious issue, since marriage comes to us from nature as a union of a man and a woman long before Christ walked the earth or the state came into being. Nevertheless, there will be consequences for the church and society that will become clear as the law is used to sue for discrimination. The law has made some gays and lesbians happy, and that is not a bad thing in itself. The law, however, is bad law because it will contribute over the long run to the further dissolution of marriage and family life, which are the bedrock of any society. The church will therefore continue and strengthen her ministry to families. We have lived with bad laws before, and we will do our best to adjust to this one for the sake of social harmony. One of the consequences for our religion is already evident in the misuse of Pope Francis's words spoken last summer about our attitude toward an individual gay person who has asked God for forgiveness. The Pope was not speaking about approving gay marriage, to use his words, against his teaching as they were used on the floor of the State House of Representatives on November 5th is less than intellectually honest. We are called by reason of our belief that every person is made in God's image and likeness to love and respect all our brothers and sisters without exception. This is something we must understand. We have to keep telling. We have to remind people, because this is the bullying that happens. You know, because you don't support this, then this is an institution of hate and bigotry, and this is an untruth. This is wrong. It's not all relative. We're servants of the laws of God. We're obliged. We're bound to God's law in order that there be proper order in the society. We're espoused to the Lord. Yesterday we finished the Sermon on the Mount. We've been reflecting on this for last couple of weeks, and Jesus has laid out the blueprint. This is the plan. This is how we're to live, with the help of God's grace. It's interesting that today, as we come out of the Sermon on the Mount at the Mass today, we've got the beginning of a series of healings. Because we're a people, there's always disorder in life, and we're always in need of healing. But we have to humbly recognize our sicknesses, our disorders, our weakness, our idiosyncrasies, our inclinations, our proclivities, to this or that or whatever, contrary to our true nature is created in the image and likeness of God. We always look to the higher standard, and we help each other along the way. We're a wounded people. Can we say that we are sick and sinful people? This is not a bad thing to say. This is a good thing to say insofar as we recognize who we are as we stand before God in a world that is in suffering. And that we, as a body, as the mystical body, the church here for the world. And by the way, this is not unique to Catholicism. This is in Christianity. This is in Judaism. This is in Islam. You know, that we're compelled to protect and safeguard marriage and family, as it's been lived and understood up until today, we can say. But we are called by reason of our belief that every person is made in God's image and likeness to love and respect all our brothers and sisters without exception. But we express this respect within the context of our belief in how God has made us and made the world. This belief and this love is the basis of our joy in living the Catholic faith with integrity of mind and heart. I thank you for your life of faith. God bless you and those you love. Those are the words of Cardinal Francis George when Illinois accepted or chose to redefine marriage. And again, let me just reiterate the fact that that we're about ours is a commitment to life, a commitment to life, and that life comes from the marriage, right? Life, the life of the world, the life of the planet, the life of each. Even as the Pope said in that, in the encyclical on the environment, praise be to the Lord, praise to the Lord, our common home, our protection, mm-hmm. or something of our common home, that you cannot call yourself an environmentalist and at the same time have no regard for life conceived in the womb of its mother, a child or a child born and conceived in the womb of its mother. It seems to me, as I've said before, we're under the dominion of our feelings. We're living under the dominion of feelings. We give in free rein to the flesh. The flesh of its very nature, as St. Paul said, will just produce all kinds of chaos and confusion and disorder and disruption and division and death. Now, we're called to live under the dominion of Christ Jesus, the dominion of the Spirit. The flesh of its nature will lust against the Spirit. There's a tension. There's conflict. It's part of life. It's part of life. But again, do we dare but humble ourselves and say, no, we look to God. But then it comes back to the question of who is God? And do we believe? Do we not believe? Anyway, this is an interesting day. There's a lot going on. But what a contrast. These killings going on all over the world, and at the same time, the great celebration going on in the nation at the approval of same-sex marriage, the law of the land, the law of the nation. And what are the ramifications on faith and family and marriage? And believe me, trust me, that there will be adverse ramifications. We have to prepare, brace ourselves for a time of a rather intensified persecution. I think there's no doubt about it. Anyway, so I'm going to leave it at that. And we're going to come back to this certainly on Monday. With some other things. So, all right, Christina, we're going to switch off because we've got really, really happy today to have with us some young women who are, this is a sign of hope. This is the good news. This is the good news. This is a sign to us not to be despairing, not to, but to know that there's a light in the darkness. Mm-hmm. And no matter how dark the dark is, the light is still more powerful. Jesus is the Lord of history, and he will have the last word. So, nothing new under the sun. In some ways, we're back in the old Roman Empire, and the Christians it was through the blood of the martyrs, right? That the church, this little flock, this little band of believers, grew into a truly a universal Catholic church that would build a beautiful civilization. Universities and hospitals and the work for the poor and the beautiful art and beautiful music, and well, that civilization is in a rather severe way assaulted today, under assault, and we'll see where it goes. But anyway, the victory is ours. So in the storm, we look to the light. In the battle, we claim the victory. So we're going to take a break. We'll be right back, and I'm going to bring these missionaries, that's what you are, missionaries, right? These missionaries onto the radio and let them tell their story. So we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Hey, my name's Louie, and I'm the official taster for the Taste of St. Stan's. And I took time out to tell you what's going on because I didn't want to talk with my mouth full, because my mom told me it'd be impolite. Go figure. At the Taste of St. Stan's, Sunday, August 2nd, from noon to 5, you can taste Hispanic, Polish, Asian, combination, and Chicago experience plates. Could be pizza, could be sausage, in that Chicago experience plate. Tasting's not the only thing you can do. There are kids' games, contests, and karaoke, even if you carry a tune in a bucket. $6 a plate, and the Chicago experience plate is only $3. Come on down. Bring a friend, Sunday, August 2nd, from noon to 5 p.m. on St. Stan's Church grounds, Division and Noble. That's 2 blocks north on Noble, just off Division, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Taste of St. Stan's, Sunday, August 2nd, noon to 5.
Welcome back, everybody. Who was that on the... Did you hear that,
that
voice?
That was Armand.
That was Armand. I can't believe it. The man of many voices. Anyway, everybody, welcome back to TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. It's going to be a busy Friday for many, for me certainly, a busy weekend. We're really very, very happy to have missionaries. The church is a missionary church today more than ever, I suspect, but very happy to have these missionaries. And I'm going to go right to Melanie Pilon. Is this a pronounced Pilon?
Pilon.
From Canada. From Ottawa?
That's right.
So what brings you into what blew you into this this studio here in Chicago, in the heart of Chicago?
Well, I am a consecrated woman of Regnum Christi, and I have the gift of working with youth. That's my main mission here in the city. And so each summer we host a group of high school girls who come to have a mission experience for 5 or 6 weeks of their summer. So this summer I am with these four, who are 4 of 8.
4 of 8 in the Chicago?
In the Chicago area, who are part of the international program. So they come from close and from far.
Yeah, I can see. Yeah.
To give their summer here in service.
So we're talking from Canada to Mexico, and we're going to talk to some of the young women here. We've had here at St. Stan's for, gosh, for how many years, Christina? It's been many, many years. We've had the, during Holy Week, the Regnum Christi sponsored Legionnaires of Christ,
yes,
and Regnum Christi have sponsored these missions during Holy Week, and we were certainly, they had, I think one of the first missions they had here in Chicago was right here at St. Mm-hmm. Stan's. In fact, we had on Easter Sunday, we had all the missionaries from all over come and celebrate the Mass on Easter Sunday to close the week-long mission. Is this something similar to that?
I actually was at that Mass.
Were you really?
Almost 10 years ago.
You would have been one of the...
Because I was giving a year of service after high school then.
Interesting.
That was before I was consecrated. And so I have many memories of being here.
So you
doing
remember
missions.
That. Well, that,
I do.
How, that was what, 10? 10,
that was
more
9
than,
years ago.
9 years ago. Okay, mm-hmm. I know it was some time ago.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And so you're, how long are you consecrated already?
I have been consecrated for 8 years.
And you're...
So I started my process after that year of mission work.
Okay, and you in Canada or your headquarters here, is here in the United States.
In the United States, yes. We had a formation center in Rhode Island at the time.
Okay,
and that's where I did my years of formation.
Fantastic. And are you stationed here in Chicago now?
Yes,
you are. Okay,
I am back.
How many consecrated women are in Chicago, Regnum Christi?
We are 12 in our community.
Oh, that's a good
12
number.
Consecrated women. And then we always have a few missionaries living with us who are giving year of service, who are either finished high school, or in their college years. So.
Okay. And what's the purpose of the mission this summer? Do you want to speak to that, or do you want the young women to speak to that? Or
I can let them share a little bit why they're here.
Okay.
But this program exists, as I said, internationally, and the idea is to give them an opportunity to serve, to give their own time, their own summer to Christ in this way. So they can share a little bit more what has motivated them to give their summer.
Fantastic. And they're they're all pointing to, let's see, are you Yucatan or Michoacan? You guys can talk on the mic. Are you from Michoacan?
Yes.
Ana Paula?
Yes.
Ana Paula. Espanol. But what brings you here?
What brings me here is like to give my summer to Christ and do apostolates here to bring happiness to all people.
Fantastic. Now, you're from Michoacan. Do you know that you're kind of, in a sense, I said it, Christine, I said kind of, I said I try to avoid that. You are right here at St. Stanislaus Kostka in the heart of Chicago, and we were, this was kind of the, kind of, there's the second time I'm doing it. I'm trying to break my the habit of saying kind of, you know. But the this was little Michoacan over here. Many of our people, many of the people that come to Mass on Sunday at the Spanish Masses are from Michoacan. Christina's from Michoacan. Where from Michoacan are you? What part of Michoacan?
La Piedad.
Which is close to Morelia, or?
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of. You said it, kind of. Okay. Very good. Okay, so and this first time in Chicago? First time in the United States?
First time in Chicago, but not in the United States.
And how long have you been in Chicago? When did you come? When did you arrive? When did you begin?
I have been here 2 weeks and... 3 days.
In 3 days, okay. And you'll be here how much longer?
5 weeks.
Oh, 5 weeks. So this is really a summer. This is really summer. Okay. All right, so we'll come back to you, Ana Paula. Let's see, Christina.
Yes.
There's another Christina. So we have two Christinas here from Yucatan.
Yes.
So what brings you here? What inspired you? Or did your parents force you?
No. I want to have a new experience in my life, and... I love to do missions in Yucatan, so doing missions in another place will be like another experience for me.
Sure.
And I want to meet new people, new kind of missions too, because they are totally different and have an experience with God.
Very good. Fantastic. Now, did you, did both of you, were you part of the mission, other missions? You mentioned other missions. Were you part of the Holy Week mission, perhaps in Mexico?
Yes, or in
you
Mexico.
Did? Okay, yeah. As well? Ana
yes.
Paula? Yeah? Okay, very good. And then we've got over here, I got from Mexico as well, right?
Yes.
From Aguascalientes.
Yeah, Aguascalientes.
Daniela.
She
doesn't look, what?
No, she was like from Bishop Alberto Jalisco. Rojas.
Ah, our bishop is from Aguascalientes, that's right. Our bishop. We get, well, there's Archbishop Tzupich, but our vicar, we're vicariate three, so the Archdiocese of Chicago has many vicariates, and each vicariate has a bishop. Our bishop is Alberto Rojas. I don't know if you've met him or not.
No, I don't know him.
But he's from Aguascalientes.
Okay.
Everybody from there is very nice, by the way, you know, it seems to me. So what inspired you? What brings you here?
I think that the idea of having a different summer, but like having a good summer, like, you know, you're gonna do like fantastic things, like sharing with people and meeting new girls and everything. But it's not like the idea of the same summer, like no more school, we're going to the pool with my friends and everything. It's like a good summer, like you know you're gonna be different after.
Because I mean, being with your friends and going to the pool, those are good things, aren't they?
Yeah. It's like better to do these
better,
things.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, we're going to find out what you guys are doing, but let me go to, we got somebody north of the border, actually, right? you're the north of the border, the foreigner here among all
yes.
these. You're from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Kirsten, I'm sorry. So you're a little bit of your background. What brings you here?
Well, I knew Consecrated Women in Texas, but I've always... been in ECYD ever since I could, but I never knew about the missions. So, you know, the consecrated were like, hey, you want to be one? I was like, But I really felt Christ calling me to do this, to spend my summer in somewhere totally different that I've never,
sure,
like, ever thought I would. And so, yeah, I really wanted a new experience and to encounter Christ.
And, okay, I'm going to come back to 2 points you just made. What part of Texas are you from?
I'm from the Houston area.
Where?
Houston.
Houston, okay, mm-hmm. Very good. So the call, first of all, you mentioned mm-hmm. the call of Christ. We were talking yesterday on the radio about listening and speaking to God. How do we listen to God? How do we speak to God? So obviously you sense a call, and then you also mentioned encounter, an mm-hmm. encounter with Christ. So those are two very significant points that you're making. Now, first of all, let's talk about the call.
Mm-hmm.
How did you, tell me about that. What does that mean?
Well, after I was asked if I wanted to, I prayed a lot about it. I wanted to actually go to Louisiana, where I'm from, but unfortunately, we can't pick where we're going, so it was like, oh, I'm not going to go. Like, I'm not. But then after I really prayed a lot about it, and I just felt like God was telling me, you need to go, or like, this is where I want you to be. And so, yeah.
it's kind of like Jesus, who after the resurrection, he says, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, right? Mm-hmm. Because they, I want them to go there for the encounter, right? Mm-hmm. For the encounter, because you mentioned the encounter. So obviously, the Lord calls you here. By the way, do you like Chicago?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So you've come to Chicago. You've responded to the call for the encounter. Mm-hmm. Have you encountered Jesus, or how do you encounter Jesus?
I've encountered him through just the people that we have met.
Of course.
And the people we have served. It's really beautiful.
Fantastic. Okay, those are two key issues right there, right? The call and the encounter. Because sometimes, you know, we don't even realize, you know, that we ask, why do I want to do this? Or why am I doing this? But the desire, God puts that desire in the hearts. Now, you've all talked about fantastic things and all that, but what are those fantastic things? What are you doing exactly? Christina, what are you doing?
We have been doing missions all around the city.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the Missionaries of Charity, to the soup kitchen, and cook with them, and to the Grace Place, a soup kitchen.
Yes, that's Mother Teresa's, Mother Teresa of Calcutta. I realize as I'm talking about, they probably never knew Mother Teresa. Wow. How time changes, time flies. Wow. Anyway, Mother Teresa, the great saint among us for so many years, she passed on before you guys, before all of you were even born. So you feed the poor at the Missionaries of Charity.
And we went to Feed My Starving Children, and we Sisters Mary Providence with a disabled woman.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Are these the Sister Anne?
Yes.
I mean, Sister, we have Sister Anne. We've also have a Sister Florine who works in our soup kitchen, is a sister of Mary of Divine Providence.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Fantastic. Okay. Ana Paula, can you add to that?
On Saturdays, we go to the morning run, and it's a really good experience because you go to give breakfast to the homeless. And for you, it's so normal, like, to have food in your fridge and all of that. Like, oh, I'm hungry, I'm going to go to the fridge. But when you see them, like, when you give them, like, soda, like, you see their faces, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah. Where do you go? Are you in the city itself, or?
Yes.
Are these people in the streets?
Yes.
Yeah, fantastic. See, we have right now, as we're here on the radio, we have people feeding the poor, people in the streets, right now in the soup kitchen. Fantastic. Cristina. No, we got Cristina. Daniela.
Sí.
Add to that. What else? Let me ask you this. What do you do by way of... Kristen was talking about the encounter, okay? We encounter Christ in the people and also the call. What about, do you pray during this time as well? Is there prayer as part of the mission?
Yes, when we are at home, and, well, every time we have, like, some moments to pray. And at the beginning, it was, like, hard for me, like, to pray, for example, before eating lunch or eating dinner.
Sure.
But after these weeks, like, you kind of start loving doing. Like, you start, like, after doing all of these weeks, like, realizing it's important and that you need to do it, and like, you...
Do you have Mass every day? Do they have Mass every day? Mass every day. Do you spend some time in adoration to the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament?
Yes.
Fantastic. Kristen, we got another one with us as well, Colleen. Actually, from Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. So welcome. So what are you doing, Colleen? You're not actually a missionary, but I guess you're all missionaries, but what's your purpose here?
Well, I'm the team leader, I guess you could say. So a lot of responsibility. I'm basically here to obviously do the missions with the girls as well, so I participate in everything they do. Here to kind of guide them and be there for them, pray with them. And I'm older than them too, so I guess just like be that extra support they need. I'm in college, so that's helpful.
What is your major? Can I ask? Can you talk a little bit closer to the mic?
Yeah. Okay. I'm studying elementary education at the Catholic University of America.
Oh, fantastic! Yeah. So what inspired you to? What's your affiliation with Regnum Christi or with the missions?
Well, I am actually very new to Regnum Christi. I only met it about a year ago, so I've never been an actual UCUID missionary. So it was kind of crazy that I just like came here and like jumped into this. But it was a very special how I met the consecrated. There's actually consecrated in DC too, so I met the ladies there first, and I just felt very drawn to their lifestyle and their mission because I've always felt called to serve in some way, and I just didn't know what that really meant for me.
Sure.
So when I met them, something just struck my heart, and I was really just on fire almost and very happy, happier than I'd ever been before. And so I got more involved with them, and my friend actually did a year with Regnum Christi, and she connected me with the ladies in Chicago. And so it kind of just fell into place that I came here, got on a plane, and jumped into something completely new and not really out of my comfort zone, I guess you could say. But I guess when I got here, I felt very at peace, and I knew that this was what I was supposed to do. And I jumped into it just like all of them did. And I'm just very happy doing all the missions with the girls. So it's been a really nice experience.
Can I ask you, Colleen, because you're from Washington, D.C., yes. And one of the things that I was just speaking about this, I think at Sunday at the Masses or somewhere I was speaking. I'm always speaking to different people in different places. But, you know, there's always crazy things going on in the world today. We say that we're passing through a diabolical disorientation. Everything is upside down, and there's a lot of confusion and a lot of craziness going on. And certainly there seems to be a collective walk away from God and all things sacred, life in the church and all that. And yet, and we're so inundated with bad news all the time as we watch the news, right? But when you think that when young people come together, as they do for the Jubilee Mass, you know, youth Jubilee that the Pope has, because really, Regnum Christi, this whole missionary thing was born out of the Pope John Paul II's visit to Colorado. But I think of Pope Francis or Pope Benedict in Madrid. I think of Pope Francis, what was it, a year ago, I think he was in Brazil, and you had perhaps 3 million to 4 million, if I remember, young people. The pro-life march in Washington in January, were you part of that?
Yes.
You were.
I was.
And why is that? Why is that not a news item? I mean, how many young people? Because mostly young people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the great thing about it, is that you're walking with thousands, tens of thousands of people who are your age. And that was the special part for me, was because I didn't really get involved with my faith until, you know, 4 years ago. So when I see people their age, like 15, 16, already like being involved in the faith and like going out and doing the work, that has really inspired me. And being able to be next to my friends, marching by Capitol Hill, like those are just very special moments. It just, I guess, ignites the hope that we have as a church that, you know, it's not, we can't give up. It's not over. Like, there's still people out there who really want change. So
exactly. Ignite the hope of the church, because yes. I don't know that it's the hope of the society. It's because if it were gay lesbian activists, that would be all over the news. It always is. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the big thing. But when, and by the way, I heard from a police officer in Washington, D.C., that that this is the biggest, what would you call it, a protest movement or movement or march, I should say march, is this pro-life movement. It's the biggest, it's young, and it's clean. It's clean. Mm-hmm. That afterwards, it's clean, whereas in these, anyway, it's very interesting. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and I'd like to... You know, my interest is, I think the mission is absolutely fantastic, and I think what you're doing and serving the people, I'm interested in, again, if we can talk a little bit more about yourselves, you know, and the inspiration and how you're growing through all this, what brought you to this. I think this is what, because everybody, there's no doubt that the mission, what you're doing, is a fantastic thing. And then perhaps, Melanie, you can talk, because there's instruction that goes on during this time, right? So maybe we can talk. When we come back, why don't you talk a little bit to that, okay? And then we'll let the rest of you speak a little bit more about what the inspiration behind this, okay? All right, everybody, we're going to be right back. We're here with Summer Mission Corps, ECYD, which means what? What does ECYD stand for?
Experiences, convictions, your decisions.
Okay, experience, convictions, your decisions?
Yes.
Okay, we'll be right back to talk to you or let you talk to us. We won't let you talk to us. We're not going to talk to you. Everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, and Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link, Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The tradition continues. I'm Father Thomas Loya inviting you to Prairie Fest.
Friday through Sunday, August 7th through the 9th. Friday night at 7:30, Chicagoland's number one classic rock cover band, Aura. Then Saturday evening, August 8th at 7:30, Prairie Fest celebrates the British invasion with American English.
It was 20 years ago today. Such a remember to the band to play.
Prairie Fest kicks off Family Day Saturday afternoon at 2 with animal shows for kids, the Innisfree Folk Ensemble, followed by Harvest Moon. Sunday is Polka Day, beginning with Polka Generations at 11 a.m., the Polish Highlanders Dance Troupe, Eddie Carosa Jr., and the Czechoslovak Moravian Society Dancers. Prairie Fest also has a beer garden, food, children's games, church and prairie tours, $5,000 raffle, and more. Complete details for Prairie Fest are at the events link at ByzantineCatholic.com. ByzantineCatholic.com. Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 7th through the 9th, at Annunciation Parish, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois.
Welcome back, everybody. Well, I tell you, that music makes you want to dance, doesn't it? And here you guys are not dancing, but you're in mission. You know, that's a beautiful thing. That's an odd thing. It really kind of odd, isn't it, by today's standards? And that's what makes it very intriguing, very mysterious, very, like, wow, what is it that motivates these young women? Melanie, you're in charge here, so talk a little bit about the formative aspect of this. What really happens... serving the poor and all that, for sure. But talk about what is the mission of the Regnum Christi, the charism as well, mm-hmm. in this regard.
Well, we have, as they mentioned, this is called ECYD Mission Corps. So ECYD, experiences, convictions, your decisions, and I think that does explain a lot what's behind this program. ECYD is the acronym we use to describe our youth programs throughout the world. So this summer program, this mission program, is an intense experience of what youth are able to experience with regards to their faith and to the giving of themselves at their age. So experiences, I think, are a key part of this summer to have experiences that they are able to reflect on and really go deep into, experiences that can shape their lives, essentially. So these experiences of service and of giving themselves to people that normally they wouldn't probably even encounter,
sure,
can bring them to reflect on, what is my life really about? Why am I here? Why are these people there? And if I have the gifts that I do, what am I doing with them, sure, for the rest of my life? And they're in a moment when they have a lot of energy, when they have a lot of initiative. They have so much to give and their horizons are open. So this is a time in life when those experiences can go very deep. And that leads to the next stage, which is building convictions. Our hope is that these girls here this summer are able to bring their experiences down to convictions that become theirs. And they're at an age, all of them, where their faith is not just what their parents have given them anymore. It needs to become their own.
Their own, right.
And they all have received it. They all have assimilated it to a certain extent. But now the question is, what do you do with it? And is this your faith? So convictions that then will shape their decisions and will help them to make life decisions that are founded on solid convictions. So through everything we do, whether it's the prayer life, the missions, the team life, and what they learn living together, all of that has behind it the intention and the motivation to help them keep going deeper this way, and really to learn life skills.
Sure.
Life skills to be an authentic Catholic in the world. So that is a little bit what is behind everything else. And of course, an important aspect of the summer is also to have fun.
Sure.
They're teenage girls. They need to experience that.
They can have fun.
They can have fun. They're experts, sure, at fun, actually. Yeah. And just that experience of being with other girls who are their age and forming friendships that also are very deep is something they'll take with them into their future. And that is important for them to experience at this stage of life. So
it's a very solid formation, really. It's helping laying the foundation. This was the gospel yesterday. If you remember, mm-hmm, Jesus said that, you know, the foolish people build their house on sand, and he said the rain comes and the wind blows and the house falls. There's no foundation, whereas the wise build on rock, and the rain comes, the wind blows, but the house, it doesn't collapse because it has a rock solid foundation. And certainly in your experience with the people in the streets of Chicago and all that, you're dealing with poor people, and you're having to, in a sense, get into the storms, into the storms that characterize the lives of so many people. I mean, everybody's got some storms in their lives, but it's laying that foundation, so we build on that foundation so that we can weather those storms and fight the good fight, claim the victory, and always look to the light. So that's I've always been inspired by the whole concept or the whole mission and charism of the Regnum Christi, because I see that it bears fruit. Let me ask, your families, do they support what you're doing?
Yes. They really want me to do this.
They didn't push you into it, did they?
Yes. Well,
no.
No, what?
Yeah, did they push you? Empujate?
No, they didn't.
No.
Sorry.
That's okay. I mean, because it was you freely chose.
Yes.
You freely chose.
And my parents support me, and yeah, they were really happy.
Were you raised as you were a small child, a little girl, as you're growing, were you always with the church?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Catholic all the time.
Catholic, of course. Catholic. Very good. And you from Aguascalientes, Daniela.
Yes.
You too?
Actually, at the beginning, my parents didn't want me to come. But as the year was passing, I could convince them. And so I'm here.
Why were they not really happy about your coming initially? First,
because I'm the oldest of my siblings.
How many brothers and sisters?
One brother and one sister.
Okay.
And as they didn't do this program,
Right.
I was the first one to do so. Like they didn't.
Unsure, perhaps not certain about what this was all about. Mm-hmm. But you convinced them.
Yes, because like they saw, I really want to do it.
Sure. Fantastic. Ana Paula.
Yes.
And you, your parents, were they supportive? Your family?
Yes, my mom, not all her life, like when she was 20 years old, she starred in Renom Christi.
Oh, really? Okay, wow.
So
you have a history.
Yes, I have always grown up with the program.
Okay, all right.
So they were very supportive.
So this is kind of it's in your DNA. Do you know what I mean when I say that it's in your DNA? It's natural to who you are.
Uh huh. Yes.
Yeah. Fantastic. Our Texan, Kristen.
Yes. My parents have been in Regnum Christi for quite a bit of years.
Really?
So yes, I've grown up with, you know, I've always wanted to be, oh, when I get older, I want to be Regnum Christi. But I grew up in Challenge. It's a Catholic girls club, so it's empowered by ECYD. So
okay.
I found ECYD through Challenge, and I really loved it. And yeah, so my parents were very supportive. They wanted me to do it. They were very surprised that I came to them and told them that I wanted to
you
do it.
You told them. You didn't ask them. You told them.
Yes. Yes, they were very supportive.
Because they had no choice, I guess. If you told them, they had no choice, did they, really?
Yes.
Now, do you have brothers and sisters as well?
I have 7 kids in my family.
Really?
So I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest? Now, you're the oldest. Let's see, who else is the oldest? Daniela, you're the oldest. Yes.
Yes.
El mayor, la mayor.
Yes.
Do you say la mayor?
Yes.
Yeah. Ana Paula?
Yes.
Are you, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have a 7-year-old sister.
So you're quite a bit older than your 7-year-old sister.
Yes.
That's like, yeah, so you are raised almost like an only child, right?
8 years.
Yeah.
I've 8 years.
Difference.
Of difference.
Yeah. So you weren't the jealous when your sister was born, were you?
Mm.
No celoso.
Kind of.
See, you train them to speak the truth, really, right? In all humility. No, that's normal. Christina, what about you? Have 2 brothers and sisters?
I'm the youngest. I have 2 older brothers.
Okay.
That they do this program, too.
They're with the Legionnaires of Christ.
Yes.
Now, because I'm assuming those are separate, right? The boys are with the Legionnaires of Christ, and the young women are with the Regnum Christi. Fantastic. Let's take a final break, and then we'll come back and we'll wrap up. If there's anything we didn't even ask Colleen. This is before we take the break. Colleen, you can even just, Daniela will give you the earphones there. So was your family, I forget if you even mentioned it, your family was part of this as well or no?
Actually, no.
No?
My family isn't very much involved with the faith.
Okay.
So I kind of had to go out of my way to find things that would spark it more. So I ended up going to Catholic high school. That was like my first time in a Catholic environment. And that was where I found my faith. And I kept going with it. And then, as I said before, I went to Catholic University of America. And I just kept having encounters with Christ and my peers. And it really stayed with me. And unfortunately, I can't really share that, you know, connection with my family as
just
much.
Just frustrating a little bit.
Yeah, just a little. But I've fortunately met a lot of great young Catholic adults, as you can see, some sitting next to me, who really inspire me to keep going, even when it's hard. They really inspire me. I don't know how they do it. They're very passionate about it, and
sure.
It keeps me going, and it keeps me loving it more and more. And so I'm very fortunate that God placed all these great friends and supportive people in my life to keep going in the faith, because I love the faith. And
can I ask you a question? And you know what, Nick, we're just going to keep going, okay, because we're almost at the end now, so we're going to keep going. We're not going to take a break. Because this is very intriguing to me, really. You know, I think when you don't have, and I'm sure you come from a very good family, but when there isn't the you can't, you know, readily or freely or joyfully share the faith, because I imagine you're constantly being asked questions, you're constantly being challenged. Why?
Yeah.
Why a Catholic?
Mm-hmm.
Why this mission? I imagine you get those questions, right?
Yeah. Well, my mom raised us Catholic and my dad's not Catholic at all, but it's very different lifestyle. It's not inactive,
right.
Very like involved.
Casual.
Yeah, it's just casual. And yeah, they're a great family and I love them very
sure.
much and they support me. So that's a good thing. But yes, it is. It can be very difficult to connect on that level because for me, faith is like part of who I am. And I've really founded, you know, who I want to be on the faith. So it can get very difficult at times. And I know that's like a cross that I am bearing and will probably bear for the rest of my life. But like I said, there's always light.
Sure.
And it's the people near me who keep me going. And so I'm very thankful for that. And
That struggle actually will bring you to a deeper faith because you have to question, because you have to confront. You're being confronted. You have to confront. You have to, it's a constant, okay, why? Why? You mentioned the gift of faith, and I'd like you to say something more about that because what, and your love for the church, why, where does that faith come from and your love for the church? What is it you love about the church?
I just love the sense of community and how it's just very close. And like I said, I didn't grow up like that. So when I grew up, the way I grew up, that was what was known to me. And that was what I thought it was all about, really. And so when you are exposed to something completely different and on a completely different level, I don't know, something just struck me. And I had all these encounters in high school and adoration and going to confession and struggled a lot as well. In other experiences, God was really the person who was there for me through it all, through every struggle,
yeah.
insecurity, everything. He was the person that was there for me. And so that's never, ever left my mind. He's always there, and I will never forget that because I can look back on the moments where I struggled and where things were kind of hard. And things are always going to be hard. I acknowledge that with, I guess, the way my life is. But like I said before, I'm very happy and thankful
yeah.
that I am doing this summer and at a Catholic university. I couldn't imagine my life. I couldn't imagine being at a better place to really deepen in my faith and to be surrounded by people who want the same thing.
We're just about out of time, and I want to just say that you've answered my question because I think this is it. We're going to have to end here, but I think this is a key point, and that is community. So you can go to the Soldiers Field, you can go to Comiskey Park, you can go to the corner bars and all that, and you can have lots of community anywhere, but it's when that community is based on faith in Christ Jesus, and that through the struggles and through, and you mentioned this is a key point, and this is something that is really at the heart of the mission that Regnum Christi has facilitated, and is the charism, the mission of Regnum Christi, really to that everything comes from and flows to and from Christ Jesus, right? And that encounter, going back to the call and the encounter, but Jesus in the sacraments of the church. I hate to say this, we're out of time. This is it. I can't believe it. Listen, you know, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
You bring light into this day of darkness. You know, you bring hope. You're the salt. You're the leaven. Our prayers are with you. Thanks for answering the call, and thank God for the encounter. Okay, everybody, have a very, very nice weekend. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred, the time is now.